So I'm not going to address this comment in its entirety. I'm only going to address one point. That point is that Cora lost 90% of her 1v1s against her main villains, and that makes people hate her. And then I'm going to address the argument that I've seen based off that comment of Cora lost 90% of her 1v1s because she's weak. She wrestles into her fights. She has weak villains. There's no reason that she should, go into those fights because those villains would have lost to anybody in the Avatar The Last Airbender series with Aang. Here's what I'm going to say then. Korra's first fight, her first main villain, she's not a fully realized Avatar. She is going against a... gotta get that. She's going against a two bloodbending masters, one of which can bloodbend with his mind, and can use bloodbending to block the chi paths inside of a bender to take away their bending forever. Right? And then, that person's father, in a courtroom with a fully realized Avatar Aang, who you guys say is the strongest Avatar in the 10,000 year history of Avatars. I'm not saying whether he's stronger, weaker, that's not my argument here. I'm just saying, you guys are saying that he's the strongest Avatar in existence, right? Ever. He gets bloodbent in a courtroom with this guy's hands handcuffed. So he's bloodbending with his mind. The Avatar, Toph, Beifong, Sokka, whole courtroom full of people. Unhandcuffs himself, uses his hands, knocks everybody in the courtroom out, including Avatar Aang. Avatar Aang goes after him. Then Yakon then goes again and bloodbends him. Avatar Aang needs the Avatar state in order to break out of the bloodbending so that way he can have the upper hand. And Korra's first villain with Amon is stronger. According to the books, is stronger than Yakon. The guy that bloodbent an entire courtroom and an Avatar that was the strongest ever in the 10,000 year history of Avatars needed the Avatar state in order to break out of. And she's not even a fully realized Avatar yet, and this is her first threat. First one. So I understand Aang was 12, but we go again. Let's equalize it a little bit. Let's say Aang had three of the four elements memorized. So let's go to book two. Like, three of the four elements, not necessarily mastered, right? He's not a fully realized Avatar yet. Let's say he runs into Amon in book two. He loses. I'm sorry. He loses. If Amon is stronger than Yakon, so my point is, she's running into an extreme threat that even Avatar Aang had trouble with as an adult. And you're saying that she lost that 1v1 because she charged in headstrong and that she's a weak Avatar. When all throughout season one, she makes good decisions to not rush in. Either she's thinking about rushing in, her friends say, hey, hold on just a second, and she listens to her friends. So saying that she doesn't even listen to anybody is crazy. Because she does. So she makes good decisions in terms of making sure that she can try to at least get the upper hand on Amon. And then even at that point, he was just taken aback when she started airbending, and he had just gotten hit by lightning. She was tossing him left and right with her airbending. So I wouldn't be surprised if Amon was a little bit rattled when he was airbending or bloodbending her for the final time. And that's why she could break out of it, not in the Avatar state. So I'm not giving her, the feet stronger than Aang, this, that, and the other. I think that there's some caveats to it, this, that. But what I'm going to say is I don't understand why you're faulting her for that when... I don't know. It doesn't quite make sense to me in my head. You're saying, oh, she lost 90% of her 1v1s, and her main villain is a bloodbending master that can bloodbend with his mind that's stronger than his father, who bloodbent the Avatar that needed the Avatar state in order to break out of it. I mean, that just confuses me a little bit, right? It just confuses me a little bit, and I don't quite understand that, and especially even through season one, when she takes the steps necessary to be able to take counsel from people. So that way she's not rushing into this fight and ends up getting her bending taken away. Right? She's very careful on that front all throughout season one. So again, that point just confuses me a little bit. And saying that Amon would lose against a majority of Avatar Last Airbender villains is just simply not true, especially if he's stronger than Yakon and Yakon has the feat of bloodbending the Avatar, strongest Avatar in history, right? If Aang ever ran into him. Honestly, Aang probably would have won the fight, But that's only because he probably would have gone to the Avatar state inadvertently. Right? And if we're going toe-to-toe here, Avatar Aang going to the Avatar state inadvertently saved his life a lot of the time in the show. Saved his life a lot of the time in the show, and he was able to push his weight because he went to the Avatar state inadvertently. And that's because he had spiritual training, something that Korra did not have, and that's a blame on the White Lotus, not on Korra. Okay? So that's all I'm trying to say, and that's all I'm saying. If you have an argument there, I'll listen, I'll hear it, but I'm just trying to make sense of that because it doesn't make no sense.